Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide, of course, to better cricket. Unfortunately, this week, it's a slightly truncated show, a bit shorter than usual. We've had some technical difficulties, which means that the audio has been lost, and that means we've only got audio for Garra's and for Laver's this week. Of course, we still want to get some great information to you. So what I've done is I've edited the show down to a few minutes to discuss the opening point that we were talking about this week, which was all to do with motivation. And thanks to our friend Wolf, friend of the show, he sent in an article, which I'll put into the show notes. And let's find a little bit more about what the team thought about that article, about motivating cricketers, and also the general idea of motivating players.
Well, it does, but only having read it did I start to think about that, and only when I related it to me did I really start thinking about that. And I think it's massive relevance in it, to be brutally honest with you, but not something that I've consciously used or operated. But again, when you think back, there would have been times where I'd have probably done that instinctively or maybe subconsciously. So I thought there was some really good relevance in there, mate.
Yeah, you can see where he's coming from with it, and you can apply it to certain situations, and you can understand why sometimes that level of motivation when you're at different phases might change a little bit. So when you're getting that initial, making that initial comparison to your starting point, your motivation can be pretty high, and it can be you can perceive yourself to be doing very well because you're point of reference is where you started, and as you go down that timeline, maybe that motivation can drift a little bit because your point of reference starts to become the end line, which you're obviously somewhere below. As with a lot of these type of studies and anything that comes under that kind of, especially under that kind of psychological umbrella, there are going to be a lot of different scenarios where different theories slot into place, and different theories have different impacts with different people under different constraints in different ways. So I think it's the kind of article which is really good to try and get your head around and understand, just so you've got it in the back of your head, so that when you're working with somebody, you can understand where they might, how they might feel given any circumstances, that it might be actually at a certain stage they're feeling different to another stage. So it's not necessarily going to be a blanket, this is how people respond, this is how people progress, and this is how their motivation changes. But it's really good to understand that these things will be different, and it might be that this spills off into more research and more, and greater understanding, and as these things often do, gives us a bit more clarity around the area. Well, that's something that happens a lot at school actually with our boys, is they'll be working on something and they'll say, oh, no, I've done that. And one of the staple lines that comes out from myself or one of the coaching staff or one of the other boys now is, oh, you've completed it. Well done. You've completed batting, have you? Excellent. That's really good.
Never up, yeah.
And then suddenly they think, oh, yeah, well, no, I've got good at it. But just because I've got quite good at it doesn't mean I stop practicing it, or doesn't mean I can just forget about it now and tick that box and walk away. You don't complete cricket. It doesn't happen, does it? You don't complete batting, you don't complete bowling, you've just got to keep nagging away. And yes, it's great to observe some progressions or some achievements you've made, but then you have to go back to the reason of why did you make those progressions or achievements and stick to them, maybe adapt them a little bit. But yeah, don't get to a position where you think you've completed it, because cricket's a bigger game than that, isn't it?
It certainly is. I think one of the things that when I read the article, I sort of reflected on was maybe when you set a goal out as a team that you're going to win the league, and actually you achieve that with three or four games to go. And you know, you see that sometimes in the county championships, definitely in club cricket you might see that. But I relate very much back to the sort of Alex Ferguson way of going about things, is that when you've won the league, your aim is to complete it and complete winning the league with as many points between you and a second place team, and also starting your next year's league at that point. So you're taking in momentum, you're taking in confidence, you're taking everything in from the way you finished. Whereas you see so many of the teams that win the league for the first time, once they do that, the next couple of weeks, the last two fixtures sort of go by and they haven't performed particularly well. That Ferguson mentality, I think, is a real good one for us to have. Equally, when we are batting and we might set ourselves a goal of getting 800 runs or whatever, and we get that with a few games to go, you often see people just resting on their laurels a bit for the last couple. Again, that's an opportunity to raise your own bar even higher, to take whatever you've done into the following season and so on and so forth. So I get that. And equally, from my own point of view, if I'm ever doing a bit of academic work around a qualification or something, I tend to get an early start because I'm motivated by it. Then all of a sudden I get caught up in everything else that I get on with. And then I get that same bit of motivation at the end of, oh, I've just got to get it done now, so I'm not made to look stupid, or I'm not made to look as if I couldn't be bothered. And that's that sort of perseverance thing. Oh, I just get the job done. And when I'm not particularly into the thing that I'm doing, then that sometimes happens. I still get the job done. I do it to a relatively good standard, but ultimately I'm better at getting things when I do things done and getting them done early. That's when I get my best quality work in there, even though some would say I'm a bit lastminute.com in most things I do. And that's where good leaders come in. I remember when Michael Vaughan took over the England captaincy, he made it his business to make sure that he went out with all of the players on a social point of view, or visit their house or whatever the case may be, to find out a little bit more about them, really to get to the essence of what makes them tick, so he could tap into it again in the future. And obviously with the side that he had at the time, there was very different characters in there, from a Geraint Jones through to an Andrew Flintoff, you know, very different people. But if he got to understand how each one ticked, then he could be specific with his language going forward. And I think there's a couple of really good examples of that in the article, actually, where there's been some really good language put around both goals that are being done from an early point of view, and also from that sort of preventative point of view that we've spoken about as well. So certainly worth a read, I would say, the article, because it's helped me to understand myself a little bit more, but more importantly how I was then going to adapt that into goal setting and following up on goal sets with the players that I work with too.